Digital Radio. On the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sports Cup. World Cup coverage.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sports Cast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocho and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocho.
Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Lancaster, Pennsylvania, welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho. Brought to you by The Sports Cast. If you haven't yet, please follow us on all your social media channels. We're on X, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, you name it, and we're on your favorite streaming channels. Please leave a review and a like. It'll help us out tremendously. All righty. Today is... Today's April 18th.
Shoot. June. Come on, man.
All right, hold on. Okay, June 18th. All right, we're getting started right now. Let's get it going. Okay, hold on a second. So let's get to the first thing. Byron, you were talking about. So, hey, have you started the football? Football?
Tackle, yeah, we started. Yeah, it's hot out there. We got about 50 or 60 kids out there. If it's too hot, you don't see, any of them. They don't come out. So it's looking pretty interesting, and we're starting to get, other different township kids to come over and, play, where we are.
Other township kids you want to get? Why, you need more kids?
No, we got 50 where we are now, but because our organization is so finely tuned and finely run that everybody wants to abandon ship from wherever they are and come over there because what's going on is that a lot of teams don't focus on the offensive defensive line, and that's that's my thing. So we focus on offensive defensive line, but a lot of them, everybody wants to be quarterback, running back.
That's where the game is won, isn't it?
That's right. I try. I've been telling those kids, man, all the time. Man, I got one kid as big. He's looking me in the eye. He's 12. I'm like, yeah, he's kind of big, man. Hey, 12
years
old.
You said that last time. 13, you said the same thing.
This is different kid. Different. This is another one. I got two of them. Big giant kids.
Hold on. You got giant kids?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's two big old kids, but they're all Eagle fans out there, so I really don't say that.
Didn't you have them on in flag football too?
A lot of them kids didn't come back. Like all the superstars, during flag football, and I guess mm-hmm. tackle. And I try to tell them, like, tackle football is a lot different than flag. It's a little bit tougher. Well, it's a lot tougher. It's a lot physical. Tough. Yeah, and some of the kids, the hard work might be a little bit too much to them. Because I pre-warned them. I was like, whatever we did on flag is definitely not going to happen with tackle. So, a lot of them didn't come back.
Mm. Well, at least you're helping out. You training them. What are you? What offense and defense are you working on? Are you attached to the high school? Any high school?
Well, we're trying to work with the school, that's in our area, as far as like whatever they're running, option, zone run.
So you are working with the school.
They're going to run the same thing.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're a feeder, right? That's one thing they did in Georgia that was super impressive. Not only that, they had like the high school colors. Like these kids, by the time they get to high school, they're like the best of friends. It's so ingrained into the culture, the colors, And they run the offense that the head coaches. The only fear you have is the head coach changes and you're walking into a different offense.
Because what we're trying to do is, like, even like the way we set up practice, we're practicing the same way that they do at the high school level. Whatever they're doing, we're doing the same thing.
I think that's the best thing you could do for those kids. All right, let's get into the football stuff. Speaking of football, Texas Tech quarterback Brandon Sarsby is applying to enter the NFL supplemental draft. Why was there so much to do about this guy?
because he was doing what you're not supposed to do, which is betting, you know, on your team or any other team, you know, in college football. And, you know, he played it, I think he played it like Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Indiana, and it was a four school. He's been at like three or four different schools, you know, during his course of career. And he was betting, you know, like $90,000. And, you know, and for the old heads, back in the day, they had a quarterback from Ohio State, Art Schleicher, whatever his name is. He, you know, he come to find out this guy, habitual gambler and a con man and, you know, all kind of stuff that, you know, he ended up doing. And I could see, you know, this kid needs to work on, you know, like whatever issues that he has as far as betting, because he shouldn't have done it. He, you know, there's rules, you know, and that's why rules are there for you not to break the rule. And he did. And then, you know, he went to a court, you know, in Lubbock, Texas, and the judge, you know, said, all right, well, he could play, and, you know, he's only going to be suspended for two games of, you know, whatever it was going to be during the season. And it was like a whole, then you had other teams that were sitting there saying, you know what, if this guy is going to play, you know, we're not going to play you. You know, we're just, you know, we can't do it because what he did was foul. You know,
he's in a conference, though. They can't say they don't want to play him. It's not like they're Notre Dame.
Yeah, they could just say, hey, they could just do it. They were going to – it was two teams
even
that were like
– Even if it's a conference game?
They were not going to play. They said, we were not going to play this team because of what this guy did. And then, you know, I don't know if the – like, you know, as far as like him going to, you know, NFL, because he has, you know, the supplemental draft comes up the next
right,
month
that's or whatever. Right. Let me read the ban he put in. After legal wrangling about his NCAA eligibility, Sorsby, regarded as a first round talent, now could be the highest draft supplemental pick in decades. So how does a guy go to so many schools and still become a top, you know what I mean? Top pick.
You can't, he's good. He really is good. He's, you know, he's a really good player. But, mm-hmm. you know, my thing is his judgment, you know, is all messed up because he did something he shouldn't have been doing, which was betting on the games. And, you know, now, you know, the NFL is big with – because what was the guy? Calvin Ridley got suspended for, you know, betting or, you know, like one of the computer bets or whatever. He got suspended for a whole year, wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So now
what's wrong with them? Don't they teach them that when they come in? Like, you can't do this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with these guys?
Yeah. Why would you jeopardize your whole future betting on these games, knowing that the possibility that you could get caught doing it, or somebody snitching on it, or something? Or, you know,
but explain to me that, you know, with the portal, I understand a kid leaving, like Jalen Hurts leaving Alabama, right? Yeah. And because he wasn't going to play, right? They had the other quarterback there, and I understand Joe Burrow left. You know, same thing, right? Ohio State, was it Ohio State he was at?
Yeah.
And then he left to Louisiana, and look what happened, right? But I don't get why is he changing so many schools? Is it NIL money? They're going to give him more NIL money?
Yeah, they're chasing the money. A lot of these kids, you know, they're chasing money, and then, you know, people don't realize that, you know, okay. Everybody that goes to the portal does not end up with another team. You know, usually, you know, that's, you know, it might be some backdoor kind of stuff.
They can be left out, like,
yeah,
or they have completely. If they go in the portal, can they go back to their team?
No.
So you go to portal, you're already gone.
You're gone, done, out to school. See you around. Bios con Dios.
Or you have to pay your own college.
Yes.
Got it.
But it doesn't make any sense that these kids are chasing the money, you know, like this, or, you know, going, you know, back in the day, you know, they give you 5 years eligibility. You got five, you can play for four. That's what the rule was when I played. And, you know,
the rule was you had 5 years to play four.
Right. Now it's still the same thing, but now you got people, you know, well, you can automatically, you go into the portal and you can play next year, the following year.
Exactly. You'd have to, when we played, you had to sit out a year if you transferred.
Yeah. Now you got guys, or like the one kid in Miami, the one that was there 9 years. How was it, you know, okay. he got,
you know, right, sir,
you had the COVID stuff that was going on. They got an extra year for that. Then you turn around and then, you know, you get hurt. Then you get, you know, you apply to the NCAA, you know, they'll grant it sometimes. and then you get hurt again. And next you know, this dude went from, you know, 4 to 5 years to nine. And it's a bunch of them that have been, you know, around 6, 7 years. It's crazy. If you're in school 7 years, you should have a doctorate by the time in 7 years.
What are they doing? They're taking one class? You know, some, there's one way or another, you're going to either build up credits or you're just taking the minimum credits. There's a minimum credits for you to be a full-time student.
Yeah, you have to. And like, I think they were bringing up Carson Beck because he had already graduated, you know, from, you know, when he was at Georgia, when he left and then went to, you know, Miami. So he had already graduated. And he had admitted, he's like, yeah, I only take one class. You know, he's a graduate student, so you know that's cool. You can get away with that. But how is that? You're sitting there, man. You got one class. What do you do all day? Oh, you got one class. You go to the class at, you know, if you're early riser, 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever. So now you got all day to do whatever because you're not gonna.
And you got NIL money, and you're living your best life, dude. You're just sleeping. You're hanging, whatever, or training. One or the other. You'd be doing. All right, I just wanted to get some more insight on this guy. There's so much hoopla. It was a little crazy. But he's a pick, right? I mean, who do we know that needs a quarterback?
Cleveland.
Cleveland? Really? Yeah. You got another quarterback? I heard Deshaun Watson's now trying to make a comeback.
Dude, that's the only place you can see him fit in. Yeah, go to Cleveland. Yeah, you'd be fine there.
Sanders. They made Shedeur Sanders a starter, I thought.
Yeah. Any other team that would pick up this guy, knowing, and you know, it's an addiction. Gambler's addiction. You know, as long as he gets help for it, you know, I don't have no problem with it. You know, as long as he's going to get help. But knowing that this guy did this, in the back of my mind, you know, now you're dealing with more money, you know, higher stakes. You know, as far as with the NC, you know, the NFL, and I would think 2, 3, 4 times about even picking the guy.
Well, he says he's the first round, so we'll see. All right, let's get it going. All right, here's the deal. Is Victor or Byron watching the FIFA World Cup? For me, not exactly. I like to look at the scores. I want to see when the United States win. I'll watch it if I'm out. I was happy for Colombia because our company's headquartered in Colombia. And, you know, I'm kind of forced to watch it because Solvo Global, if you want incredible augmented staffing, out of 30 countries, Solvo Global. So our company, they're all big into soccer, you know what I mean, or football. So I kind of get into it with them. I will tell you, though, Byron, as much as, you know, I'm not a big soccer fan, we have our company has seats in the Inter Miami, seeing Messi, like VIP seats. When you see it live, I walked away with a lot more respect for soccer players. Because the field is so big, on TV, they look tiny. It's just like it's wasting time. You know what I mean? You're not, like, close enough. But when you see them live, the ability to what they do with the ball and their feet, like, just moving it around. It's like hockey players playing sports on ice and skates. You know, we play them in cleats, but we're not. I mean, that's hard. Water polo, you know, all those types of stuff are hard. But I will give credit to soccer players. I'm still not a big fan of watching on TV, but going live is impressive. It's very impressive. So, Byron, are you watching FIFA Cup?
I've never watched a soccer game in my life. Ever.
I never watched. Only time I watched a full game is when I was there live, thanks to Solvo Global. I was live at the Inter Miami, and now they built a new stadium. So I'm looking. I'll probably be going soon with some clients. But okay, so you're not watching it. I'm kind of watching it. If USA does well, obviously I'm gonna watch it.
The only thing cool around here is like, because I've been past the stadium over, you know, in Philadelphia like 1,000 mm-hmm. times in the last mm-hmm. 2 weeks. And as far as them setting up, you know, the security, and I, you know, usually, you know, it's like a free for all kind of sort of with the parking, you know, coming, you know, into the stadium because, you know, they got up the three stadiums, you know, sitting there. But they have, like, all the security stuff that they have to go through on one side of the stadium before they can get in the football stadium. And they've already set up all the traffic stuff. It's been up for, like, a couple weeks. And they got the signs up just letting you know. I think Sunday it starts around here where the traffic is just going to be brutal.
You know, trying. Dude, I live downtown Fort Lauderdale. I will tell you this right now. They're blocking off the streets. Just for it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like spring break down here. And imagine, you know, where I live down here in South Florida, it's multicultural. You know what I mean? It's like people from every country. is here. So I'm sure it'll be interesting because we got Argentinian food, we obviously U.S. food, we got Colombian food, Mexican food. So it is going to be crazy. So there's your answer, Santiago. Neither one of us are really watching the FIFA Cup, okay? All righty. World Cups. Hey, this one I like. World Cup stars latest to campaign about MetLife Stadium's playing surface, even with grass installed. When is this going to not be a problem anymore?
Like when I read that, you know, earlier, they're saying like one of the players was complaining about, I guess, the pitch of the field, you know, is different than I guess what they play on, and that this field is more like an artificial turf where it's flat.
Isn't the championship going to be played there?
I don't know. I hope
it was not. I think it is. I think they're playing in multiple places, but I think the championship is in. We'll have to look that up.
But yeah, they're current. Yeah, and how long have we been complaining about the grass field
for? Oh my God,
years. And now they knew the World Cup was coming here. They knew these guys they're a little bit different than football players, you know, as far as, you know, the fields that they play on. And they still didn't do nothing about it. But then they also brought up like MetLife, the field there. I think it's like five or six or seven other teams that have the same turf that we have.
Right. Well, I don't know. Hold on a second. Yeah. I was going to tell you, yeah, I mean, but you got soccer players complaining about the food. I mean, about the field. How many more injuries do we have to have? Soccer players are complaining about grass. Can you imagine how bad the turf is?
It's got to be pretty bad that these guys, you know, are playing on it, man. Because it's just we've been complaining and crying and screaming about this for five, six years.
No, man, for almost 7 years, bro.
How bad? Terrible. You know, say if one of them guys like, you know, Messi.
Those soccer players get paid big dollars.
Yeah, but say one of them comes here and gets hurt. Mess around, you know, like, you know, how our guys, the Giants, get hurt just walking out the field. Next, you know, they tore up the Achilles tendon or knee. Man, it's going to be like a mess if one of them, you know, superstar players get hurt on the MetLife field.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, those guys don't mess around. I told you the FIFA Cup final will be held in New York / New Jersey at the 2026 matches across the United States. So it's going to be held in New York, New Jersey. They've had to throw New York in there, but at the end of the day, it's at MetLife.
I saw a sign, I don't know where it was, for park, it was $135, the park.
Yeah.
I cried.
Location,
about
the 2006 World Cup was at MetLife Stadium. I knew it was there. I didn't realize all it was going around, but it's being played in the MetLife. Those guys, that's crazy.
I think, well, there's SoFi. They're played up in New England area, I guess.
Yeah, there's different areas. It's different here. Let me see. They're all over. Let me see. Here, hold on. Let me put this back. Yeah, so they're playing in host cities: New York, Mexico, and Canada. And in New York, it's MetLife, New Jersey, Los Angeles, Kansas City, and other states. It's just a mention of the other states. So that's where they're playing. All right, let's move on from soccer. Even with grass installed, they also have here the surface is drawing an eerie of players. Adrian Rabbit. Well, he put these names. I'm not going to know how to pronounce these names. Of France. complained about MetLife's pitch. Oh, that's what you said. After the team defeated Senegal 3-1 on Tuesday. But that's what you're saying, the pitch. So,
yeah.
Well, So what happened when they put it in? It wasn't level to begin with. I mean, it's got to be level.
That's flat.
It should be flat, but level flat.
Nah, not usually. Like when I played, and like a lot of the fields around here, you got look. You know, it's a little, you know, for drainage. You know, when it rains, and you got like a little pitch. You know, like not a lot, but just a little one. You know, in the middle of the field. But you know, like when we played the University of Oklahoma, they were famous for you could stand on one side of the field and look directly across the field, and you would see the only thing you could see on the other side was them from their waist up. That's how big the pitch was on
the
field.
And Perdamo, the field had a water stadium. We had a pitch.
Yeah,
going down going the towards zone. The school, going towards the school in the end zone.
It went. Yeah, but you don't want that.
Exactly. That's a problem. That
but I'm just saying, it's like the crown, like the middle of the field, like a crown in the middle of the field. And that's like crazy. when they ran the wishbone offense back then, they were always talking about running downhill, and that's what they really meant. Because the way their field pitched, that they really were running practically downhill when they're running the ball.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, let's keep going. Giants, Jameis Winston helps Japan fans clean up Cowboy Stadium in after a stadium. All right, ready, right? After FIFA World Cup game. What do you think about that?
Well, what I heard was that, you know, the Japanese are big, you know, on cleanliness as far as, you know, keeping things neat and clean and, you know, whatever. And that's all it was. They were just showing respect, you know, because they just used somebody's, you know, facility and they didn't want to leave it a mess. So they just.
That's pretty cool.
You know,
what about Jameis Winston doing it?
He's an interesting guy, man. It seems like he's getting involved with everything, you know, as far as getting ready for his post-football career.
He has to, of course. If you get loved by Japan, man, you'll be in good shape.
And, you know, he's just being Jameis. That's all he's doing. He's just being himself.
Yeah. Well, he's turned Christian, so I got nothing but love there. All right. Jets guard Joe Tipton reached a 4-year, $62 million. Wow. $62 million. Extension. That's pretty big for a lineman, no, Byron?
Yeah, guard. He's pretty good. I've watched him. He's one of the Wisconsin Badger linemen. You know, nothing but Badgers good linemen come from, you know, university. Yeah, and he deserved that money. He's done a good job, you know, for the New Jersey / New York Jets.
Yeah. All right, well, go for Froggy and the Jets, baby. We got a lot of love for Froggy out right now.
Go Jets.
Go Jets. Yay.
Hey, Jets.
WNBA. You got love with Santiago puts in. WNBA, and it expands its season to 50 games beginning 2027. They must be making money now. Thanks to Caitlin Clark. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, they just got a raise.
I still watch it for her, huh?
They just got a raise. What, last year? Was it last year? Beginning of this year, where they just signed for all that money. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know what? They deserve every penny of it.
Oh, but, and more, man. They got to work like five jobs to be a pro. Well, you know what I mean?
Not like they used to.
Well, I mean, it's not a lot of money. What was there? $70,000. You're a major player, and you know, I mean, for a young person, $70,000 is okay. But now with everything so increased, I mean, you know, they got to keep playing. So at least give these girls some time to rest. You know what I mean? If you don't have the endorsement deals and stuff. So I'm happy for the WNBA. I always like watching the WNBA even before Caitlin Clark. I watch it more because of Caitlin Clark. But not just Caitlin Clark. There's a lot of players because of Caitlin Clark that I started watching in games that I like Kelsey Plum, the MVP, I forgot her name, but she's phenomenal. There's a lot of really good players there. I love Breanna Stewart, she's a baller, man.
She won four. She's a great player at Connecticut.
She won four championships in a row. You know, so there you got a lot of good, and they play really good basketball. They're hitting threes, they're doing a lot of things that they weren't doing before. So I'm really happy for them. All right, let's get into the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go, go New York, go New York, go. Congratulations to the New York Knicks, our WNBA world champions. Since, 52 years, Byron?
53.
in 53 years. That is something. And I heard that it's going crazy. I haven't seen any video yet, but the parade is probably my one of our colleagues is in New York. He's, bro, that is crazy. He's living there. He doesn't want to go. He's like, it's crazy, you know. But happy for the Knicks, Froggy. Richie Vargas out there, happy for you and the Knicks. It was great. It was great to see the Knicks win and have that garden jumping. Let me tell you something. Those are really good. New York fans, we're the best. At the end of the day, New York, New Jersey are the best. We don't leave no matter what. And then after watching Knicks game, every fourth quarter, why would you leave?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go. I can't see. Okay. Man, I don't know what's going on with my glasses. Okay. Knicks, here. Boom. The Knicks beat the San Antonio Spurs 94-90 in Game 5 of the NBA Finals on Saturday night. Byron, did you see any adjustments? I think I'm in agreement with you. I think the coach should be fired for Spurs.
Really?
I'm sorry. Hmm? I was in between because of his pedigree and Popovich, you know, that kind of going. He's also a young guy. The team is young. But I going back to, how do you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? You're blowing them out. You're winning in the fourth quarter, and you have no patience. You have no patience. You're jacking up threes with a lot of time on the clock. I just don't understand them, you know. And you got to give props to the Knicks. And Mike Brown, I'm telling you, I think he's a great coach. I always thought he was a great coach. I just thought the Knicks organization, I thought he was a lame duck because of what happened. So I was wrong, right? And he did something with that team where, you know, and Jalen Brunson, I mean, he was put in, like we talked last week, right? He knew who to put in, when he needed to put in, when he has a spark. Hey, shout out to Jose Alvarado, a Puerto Rican. So he was the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and he's a Puerto Rican, yo, Boricua. Let's get it on. All righty. So I was very happy to see that. By the way, I saw a clip that New York should be thanking New Jersey because their two stars, Kat and Brunson, are from Jersey.
Yeah, that is true.
And you're always shooting, rooting for the Jersey boys. So those are two Jersey boys. And you got to love how they, like three of them won in college and now won an NBA title. That's impressive, right? If DiVincenzo didn't get traded, we got traded for Kat. So that was a good move. But DiVincenzo would have been there. They would have four of the guys from Villanova.
Pretty good program.
On an NBA championship. No doubt. It's a hell of a recruiting, right? It's not like Villanova is only good like every 10 years or something. You know what I mean?
They're not really longer than that.
They're not a powerhouse in game. They're always in it, but they're not a power. They're not like a Duke or North Carolina and Indiana, you know. But you got to give them props. Two national championships, NBA ballers. They have a lot of players in the league. So congratulations, Villanova. All righty. Jalen Brunson wins NBA final. I can't speak today. MVP finals. I think he deserved it. You know, it's kind of hard. OG was there, but I just think every time – you know, Jay for 6-1, and he didn't win on his height, but he was a killer, man. He was a killer. He knew when to take over the game.
So now I'm have to go back on, you know, what I said, you know, last time, that he's not a top 10 player. Yes, he is. After he just did this, yes,
yeah.
He is absolutely a top 10 player at 6'1", former second round pick. In the NBA, got to give it to him. Yes,
and I heard a comment to say that, you know, they said that, you know, Jalen Brunson wasn't worth $100 million, but then he came back with he's worth $300 million because he took a salary cut to get the rest of those players. Right, he did a Brady. Okay,
yeah, he left $131 million. He left. Mm-hmm. Left $131 million on the table
to get other players.
Oof, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know, yep. But he got an NBA championship. And he's going to make a lot of money now between shirts, jersey sales, between king. He's the king of New York, bro. You know what I mean? And he's from Jersey, so you can't ask for any better. And, you know what it is to be a guy that's going to be, you know, he's beloved in New York and New Jersey.
He'll never have to pay for another meal in New York as long as he's around.
Or in New Jersey, bro. Remember, don't forget where he's from. Once you're a Jersey boy, you're a Jersey boy. Hence, Jersey boy sports talk, right? We're both not in Jersey, and we're still calling it the Jersey boy sports talk. But, all right, Brunson scored 45 points, including 13 straight for New York Knicks in the fourth quarter. Again, he's a killer. He's a killer. He went right at Wemby.
Yeah. He did his thing. He put them on his back, and he willed that championship. Yeah,
his bench came through too, man. I mean, those guys were putting up points. In the game they lost at halftime, they had put up like 50% of the points. Imagine getting 50% of the points from your bench players.
And you figure the happiest person probably in all of New York got to be Spike Lee. He was just busted at the seams.
But everybody there was, I think Ben Stiller was in the locker room with the champagne. I mean, it's amazing the access these guys get, right? Timothy Chalamet. I don't think I've ever saw him at a game.
No.
You know, these guys, everybody came. I liked that they had Eli and Jeter were sitting next to each other. That was a smart move right there.
Then they had the, what's her name, from Olivia Benson from, what do you call it, the show, Law & Order. She was sitting there with the other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were all there, man. I was like, man, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
All the big-time people came out.
I still like the scene, giant. I said the Jeter and Eli standing there together. If you, how would you stack those three players in what order?
As far as New York,
of New York, New Jersey, yeah.
Well, you gotta put Jeter number one because he's got all those championships. Played at a high level for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Lawrence Taylor, even though he wasn't there, but Lawrence Taylor, you got to put him up there. Eli can be number three. Michael Strahan, even though you didn't see him.
No, I was saying that those three, those order, I would put Jeter, Eli, and then Brunson. You won one chip, bro. And the team gave it in football, you got to make a lot of mistakes to you know what I mean?
I can't put Brunson over my man, LT, man. We can't do it. Come on, man.
I'm just saying, out of those three, if we had to add every player that's out of New York, New Jersey, you know, and the New York teams, then there's a way those other players too you could add. You know, Reggie Jackson, let's go Catfish, there's tons of players, right? They still talk about Thurman Munson. Died in the plane class, but out of those three, I think is that order. Unless he wins another chip, Eli's got two championships, and
Jeter's got what, six,
and he was in it all the way through, bro. He must have been in six or seven championships. All right, let's go. Knicks won the series 4-1, rallying from double digit deficits in all four of those victories. The deficit was 16 on Saturday night. I mean, I just don't understand.
Spurs ran out of gas. Wemby ran out of gas. You know, they're constantly going at him. You know, him having a switch on defense, all the time. The coach not knowing, when he should call a timeout to slow things down and get back into the game. It was a lot of stuff that, like you said, that he did that any other coach would get fired for.
I think he should be fired.
And then Wemby going into next year, he better have his dukes up because there's going to be some people gunning for him because he did a lot of stuff that, I didn't expect, that somebody of that caliber to do.
Well, not only that, he did a Pistons on them. Brunson left the bench after they won, went right up to go him to shake his hand, and still tapped him on the chest. And Wemby just walked off the floor. I mean, that's just a baby. Like, you're, if you want to be a superstar, act like one. You know what I mean? Give the other team the props. I can see you're upset, this and that, but you should be upset with yourself. You should be upset with your coaches. You should be upset with your players. You know what I mean? Because Fox, as the only veteran, made a major, major mistake, right? But to do that or a championship, you got to respect. Gotta respect sees respect. You know what I mean? Brunson seems to be like a phenomenal, phenomenal young man. And Wemby was just – he's a baby. He's from France.
Well, you know they're going to blame it on that. Like you said, he's from France and that he's 22 years old. So that's pretty much the excuse, you know, they're trying to get. But there's a lot of things that he did, you know, that were very questionable. And he was one foul away from not
– one flagrant away from being suspended. Yeah. And the thing is that he also did the flagrant and the worst – part of the time when they're making a run. You know what I mean? Like, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. But I think that it was – I don't like seeing sore losers. I'm mad because I don't win, but you're still going to graduate the other team. You beat me. That's it.
Yeah, because he – like the one where he could – well, it was two of them. When he took him – when he mushed Brunson. And then the second time when he almost stepped on – what was that? Obi or whatever his name is. When he stepped – almost – yeah, when he almost stepped on his leg. Like, that was on purpose, what he did. That was two right there that, you know, he should have been gone.
But did you see the game that the San Antonio won that when Hart, like, the guy ran into Hart, but Hart was in his way, you know what I mean? And the bench came on the side, you know, underneath the court. Aren't they supposed to be ejected? Like, you're not even supposed to leave the bench.
Supposed to.
They didn't do anything, I guess because it's the finals, or they didn't do anything. Finals. Yeah, that was crazy. All right, let's go. Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart combined to score 27 points. Those guys came to play. Josh Hart is tough. Mikal Bridges is a baller. You know what I mean? I got nothing to say but great stuff about those guys. You know, they played great. What are your thoughts?
Everybody did their thing. Everybody, you know, played their part. You didn't have, you know, there weren't no big egos there, and you know, they worked together like the perfect team from the 70s with the New York Knicks, where they worked together as a team.
I saw them on Jimmy Kimmel, and there was a clip where Mike Brown was like, "Is this true? You would yell out, 'Who let the dogs out?'" And Brunson's like, "No, no, no, don't go there, don't go there." Cat, they were like ducking their heads, they were like embarrassed. It was so funny. You know, that's what we used to do in San Sacramento and so forth. But it was so funny how the players like, "No, don't do it, coach. Don't, please don't do it." All right, let's go here. Dylan Harper scored 25 points for the Spurs, who got 19 points. Who got 19 points, 14 rebounds. Scored 24 points. Who got 19 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 block shots from Victor Wembanyama. Who got 20 scored 25, who got 19 points and 14 rebounds. And we need to help Santiago like write sentences.
No, he got 19
points. He wants me to read them out loud. That just doesn't seem right.
Put your glasses on, you'll be able to see.
Dylan Harper scored this, and right. Then you don't go, who is who? Victor Wembanyama should have been in front of that. But Wembanyama scored 19 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 block shots. That's it.
He was typing fast, man.
Yeah, that's what it was. Well, thanks anyway, Santiago, for the banners. We do appreciate the banners.
Typo.
You got to help. If you want me to read them out loud, spell correctly or write it out correctly, grammatically correct. All right. Well, you know, Wembanyama didn't do enough, that's for sure.
And the kid, Dylan Harper, is going to be a star. You can see it.
Yeah, man. Well, remember, they didn't play him one game.
Yeah. He's
that was ridiculous.
He's definitely got it.
He does. He does. And he's what, 20?
18, yeah, 19, 20. Yeah, he's a young guy.
Knicks improved to 4-0 in closeout opportunities this season, winning them all on the road. Wow. I'm saying that team was,
on the road.
That team was destined to win a championship. They never flinched. They never, like, you know, they didn't argue at each other. None of them complained about fouls. You know, like they were just literally playing, right? I mean, how many times have you seen LeBron complain about something, you know, Luka complain about something? I don't really think I saw that from these guys. Even when Brunson, that should have been a flagrant foul, and Victor Wembanyama, he just got up and played.
He just took it, but he just like, I'd have been, I'd still be fighting. We still would be fighting if somebody just took their hand and just like all up in my face like that.
All righty. Okay, so we're filling it up there. What's happening in the Philly area?
Nothing.
What are they saying about Jalen Hart, the leaving of Brown, A.J. Brown? What was being written up there?
Well, it really like died down a lot after, you know, the trade, you know, as far as the whole situation, you know, that, you know, he was involved in, and, you know, that Jalen, you know, was being Jalen and didn't want to be involved in somebody else's mess. And, you know, they should have been a little bit more adult, you know, as far as the whole situation. Well, you know, he should have been more of an adult in the situation, not bringing it into the locker room, which is A.J. Brown, bringing it into the locker room, you know, whatever problems, you know, that he was having, you know, outside of, you know, again, dude, they won championship. They went, you know, went to Super Bowl, lost one. Went, you know, they won one, you know, with the, and he was putting up numbers. And then, you know, to have, you know, off the field issues, you know, just.
And almost, he got paid. It's not like he was trying to get mad because he got paid. He got paid.
Yeah. And, you know, to have, you know, whatever the issue was, you know, destroy, you know, whatever relationship they had, you know, that wasn't cool, you know, at all. And, being, you know, Jalen being Jalen, you know, he hasn't said anything about, you haven't heard one word from him about whatever happened, you know, now he's gone and this and that. He still hasn't said anything. So now
he's going to squash it. Jalen's not that style, right? He's just been criticized in the league every year.
Yeah.
So he's probably he's got tough skin at this point.
You figure now, you know, Jalen's on his seventh, you know, well, put it this way, he's had a different offensive coordinator every year since Alabama. Even at Alabama, they had different, you know, when he had Alabama, a different one. Then he went to Oklahoma, he had a different one. Then every year, it seems like, you know, with, you know, the Eagles, he's had a new, you know, coordinator. So he had Sean Mannion, he used to be a quarterback back in the day, is the new, you know, coordinator for them. So now he's going to have to learn another offense. And, you know, we'll see how they do at Eagle Land.
This seems to be so much turmoil in that team.
And you figure for a team that you got Saquon, you know, the offensive line coach, you know, Stoutland, you know, the guy that, you know, pretty much put them on the map, you know, their offensive line coach, he stepped down because he was having, you know, whatever issues, you know, or problems with, you know, whatever was going on. You know, a couple of their linemen are hurt. You know, one of them, I think it was Dickerson, wanted to retire, that, you know, where, you know, he wasn't playing at the high level that he'd been playing. And their line is, you know, we'll see this year, you know, if they're going to be the Eagle opposite line of old, or they're just, you know, they're going to come back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah, it's saying that we're in the most the quietest time of the NFL off season. Damn, I'm back on the off season because minicamp is over. You know, talking a little bit about Cam Jordan and a final run with the Saints, UFL rush, Cowboys sign versatile lineman Chris Glazer, and Denzel Mims. Philadelphia brought in dynamic weapon Eric Ezukadama, who played receiver, running back, and return in UFL. That's interesting. So pick up a lot of cool UFL players. Yep. And then Atlanta Falcons, Chicago, the Falcons signed wide receiver Antoine Wells, and the Bears signed all UFL linebacker Tony Fields. So that's good. They're building a feeder team. Big extensions, Chris Watson, Darryl, schematic explanation. Yeah, nothing's really happened. It's quiet.
You know, Big Dexter, they showed a picture of him coming in to, you know, with his new team with Cincinnati. And, you know, one of the linemen was sitting there saying that was the biggest human being that he's ever seen in his life. And this is another guy that's in the NFL saying how big he is.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, if he's happy, let him be happy. You know, maybe every guy needs a change of scenery, right? And he wasn't really doing it for us. I mean, he's still a great player, but he was still a lot of shape. You know, it just he wanted out for whatever reason. And I think he's going to miss the boat. I mean, he's with Cincinnati, so you're with Burroughs. You're with a great team. Where did Myles Garrett go? He went to Cincinnati, didn't he?
Rams.
Oh, Rams. Oh, my God. And then I heard of Von Miller. Who was the other one that was retired? He was thinking about coming back.
Aaron Donald.
Can you imagine Aaron Donald on the field with Myles Garrett?
Man, which one are you going to block? Which one are you going
to
double?
Oh, no. Yeah, you're in trouble. You'd literally have to play a two-receiver game.
Especially if you take a put him in – well, he is already in. Put him in end, put Aaron Donald right next to him at that front. How are you going to block that?
Yeah, I know. I seen one of social media thing where he was just pumping like dumbbells at like 100 something pounds, like they were toys. You know what I mean?
He's not even that tall. He's like 6 foot. He's barely 6 foot.
Really?
Aaron Donald is not that tall at all.
He's strong and big.
He's strong as an ox.
Yeah.
I think he's been lifting weights. Like he lifted weights his whole life. You know, like going back to, you know, when he was a kid, high school, you know, when he went to the University of Pitt. And he's just like a workout fiend because he almost like the guy that got traded for Myles Garrett, Jared Verse, he went to go work out with him. And Aaron Donald almost killed that guy. And he's like, I was ready to go after a couple minutes, man. He's like, he said, we just get warmed up. He's like, man, and then he asked me, was he going to come back? He's like, no. And this is a guy, the kid, Jared Versa, is like 20, he's Florida State guy. That he's like 22, 23 years old, man. He's like, he couldn't keep up with this guy.
That's why it showed in his game. You know what I mean? You put the work in, you're going to get the results out.
Yeah.
All right.
You got the workout warriors, man. You got some other people, man, that, you know, some of them guys, man, they work out like fiends. Now, that's what they do because you figure you're getting paid to do it. So might as well do something you like to do. But some of them, woo-wee, man. I've seen some people do some stuff. You're like, you know, yeah, that's a lot of weight over there, man.
It's not even a lot of weight. It's probably that his warm up took so much. You thought that was a workout. Now you're going to go work out. Right, it's not even the weight because it's just sets. You know, you're not going to go pound for pound with a guy like him, but you know, if you're going to be working out and his warm up set is what your normal workout set is, you're in danger.
Yeah, that's
I remember when
we used to have like winter conditioning at Tulsa, you know, and we probably did the same thing at Upslope where they would put, garbage cans at each corner of the end zone. So after, you know, you're working out, doing all crazy stuff, and then running all up and that, man, and he's like, when you throw up, make sure you throw up in a garbage can. You're sitting there, you're trying to run the whole 100 yards to get down there to throw up in a garbage. Oh, it was crazy.
That's funny. It was double sessions were awesome for me, right? And I came into shape every year, dude. I mean, I did not play, right? I worked out all summer. But even that, I was sore. And then I knew that some of the guys that weren't sore, I'm like, one, you weren't working out and you weren't pushing it. Because there's no way if I'm coming in shape and I'm sore, how could you not be sore? Because I don't know about you, Byron. My legs were like jell after some of these practices, right? My body aches in other places. I mean, I couldn't wait for that midday nap. That was the greatest sleep in my life.
You hurry up, go get something to eat. Hurry up, go sleep. Like quick, like
fast. Go to the cafeteria, get ourselves. I'm headed to the room, right? And boom, I was out, man. Let me tell you something. It was probably some of the best times of my life. It was going to school early. No one's there. We're all together with the fellas. You know what I mean? And it's like you don't have no responsibilities other than playing, right? You know, you ain't got no money, but you it's just you're free.
Not a penny. You know what I
mean? Not a penny, but you're free. You know what I mean? You're free. No one's yelling at you, expecting to you to bring home rent and stuff. You're getting fed 3 meals a day. You got room and board. Free. And you're playing football 2 times a day plus film. I mean, that's the greatest. You can't ask for anything better than that.
The only thing I would do different would not be in Oklahoma. It was so hot. I mean, it was hot. And then our dummies, you know, we out there on artificial turf when it first came out, and it was baking like you was in the oven baking. It was hot out there. That's the only, I would pick like a little less heat than what I went through. You know, maybe, you know, up north or, you know, a little bit further out west. But Oklahoma, oof, man, it was hot.
I would definitely though rather play when it's hot than in the cold. I hated the cold, man. Remember, I'm a D-back, dude, so everything's slippery. You make one slip, touchdown. You know what I mean? It's just gone. It's raining. It's cold. I mean, you got to like really dig in. You got to give a little bit more cushion, or you better hit that guy really hard. And man, once you came out that field, you got those big old coats on you. It was freezing.
Yeah, it was freezing.
All right, man. So since it's a quiet off season, let's quiet down our show. So we're gonna wrap it up, Mr. Jones. Root for the soccer team you like. This weekend,
go USA!
USA. All right, my brother, good seeing you. Say hello to the family, and until next week, hopefully, we get some more action coming up. All right, brother, you have a good night.
All right, you too.
Peace. Signing out, Jersey Boy Sports Talk. Peace. Don't forget, smash the like button.